Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 7th of January, recording at 5:02 p.m. British Standard Time. Now, this being Friday, this is the big picture long-term outlook for the various different asset classes. I'm not doing it in quite as lengthy a fashion as I did for a number of months, just to avoid repetitions. It's a weekly audio, and I am going to tie it in with the current strategies because I think that these are particularly important right now for a number of different asset classes. Okay, as far as global stock markets are concerned, I continue to work on the basis that, or analyze on the basis that the U.S. market is in a secular bear trend, long defined here as a generational long process of PE ratio contraction and rising yields, not in any linear fashion, but in a series of waves. Now, that doesn't mean that every other market is in a secular bear trend, and I would say, for instance, that Japan is in the opposite. I feel that Japan, which had a secular bear market trend from the time the bubble burst in early 1990 or late 1989, right on through to April 28, 2003, based on the Nikkei, when finally that 13-year and 4-month bear market ended. And as veterans to this service will know, I wrote the piece about that at the time, giving, I think, 10 reasons why I thought an 80% decline in the Nikkei was enough. And I maintain that the Nikkei stock average and other Japanese indices, we'll take the topics, that's the other important one, are in extended, predictable type 3 base formations characterized by lots of sideways ranging activity, time and size of pattern. To the extent that Japan uncouples from Wall Street will depend a little bit on the how emotional downward gyrations get on Wall Street, and we'll have to see. Needless to say, Wall Street does remain the world's biggest market, and it's not just that size counts, but also U.S. investors pump a whole lot of money overseas. So when the U.S. market is in a downward swooping phase during the secular bear trend, then that does act as a leash on other stock markets, not least because American investors, if they're losing at home, and they will become cautious and start to pull money from overseas back home as well. Now, as we know, we have been enjoying a period coming up, it'll come up 2 years, say at the end of February, if it lasts that long, where Wall Street and most other global stock markets have been in a rally phase that was interrupted during 2Q and 3Q of 2004, but then really from those mid-August lows onwards has been totally dominated by upward dynamics. And that brings us right up to date, except as we ended the year on a very strong note, we've had a decidedly mixed performance at the beginning of this year, in the first week at any rate. And the main problem, if I can use that word, is that the U.S. indices have shown some clear deterioration this week. It was mostly on Monday and Tuesday that we saw the deterioration. We had some downward dynamics. We had some small key day reversals. And that has certainly interrupted the uptrend in the U.S. Is it fatal? Does it mean that the nearly two-year rally is over? Well, no, that would be a premature conclusion, but it's a warning shot here, and I'm wary of Wall Street at this stage. I much prefer other markets around the world. Now, what about the lead indicator markets? Well, India, a little bit of concern there. Now, that's my favorite market for the very long term, and I've got substantial investment, personal investment, in India, entirely through that J.P. Morgan Fleming India Trust, that investment trust. But India, having had a very persistent, powerful rise right on up through psychological resistance levels and former highs and so on, this week, I'm afraid, has tacked on a small downside weekly key reversal. Now, that may not be game, set, and match in terms of the overall rally. It certainly doesn't alter my very, very long-term bullish prognosis, but it is definitely at least a warning shot across the bowels of this current very good medium-term trend that some of us have been enjoying. So that's a bit of a concern. Among emerging markets, Brazil, a heavyweight, that has shown some clear deterioration, although it's up today a bit. Mexico, another one that's shown some clear deterioration and down in here today. I placed great store by what was happening in Australia and New Zealand. In Australia, that pushed to a new high here today, up 33 points, 0.83% after two small days on the downside. New Zealand paused a tiny decline. So in terms of the lead indicators, the evidence has turned from being totally bullish in terms of reconfirming. Now, when I say it's totally bullish, that doesn't mean that I'm becoming more bullish, but just saying that totally bullish in terms of the right through year-end, that the global stock market rally was intact beyond a question. This week, we have seen a number of developments to certainly indicate that the U.S., India, Brazil, Mexico, to name a few, are that question marks are being raised, and that at minimum, as I say, that consolidations are underway. Not in many of the others, but the ones that have deteriorated are big and important psychologically. And there's China stock market, which is has been very poor. Now, Hong Kong had done better through year end, but has been very soft. I think it's fallen all week and down, including down again today, 1%. So, at this stage, I do take a cautious view and say that really I do think that the global stock market rally has ended an injury period phase, meaning that it's late in the cycle, and that we do want to be careful. What does be careful mean? Well, I wouldn't be putting money in Wall Street. I wouldn't be putting more money in India. I'm content to hold my money in India there. And I would be quite selective in terms of where I would put money, and where really, as you know from yesterday's comment, or may recall from yesterday's comment, the market I like the most right now, for a number of reasons mentioned, would be Thailand. There will be some late catch-up runs, provided that the overall stock market edifice doesn't unravel quickly, and I don't think it will unravel quickly. So we've probably got at least a few more weeks and quite possibly a few more months where markets will be reasonably steady, and this will give people opportunities to make more money in the better performing ones, and also I would suggest to lighten positions in the US market for starters. Okay, Japan, as I've mentioned over and over again, is my favorite developed market for the very long term. That doesn't mean it's going to be attractive every single day. I cut a lot of my leveraged positions out at the beginning of this year, beginning of last year, and or early on last year, and I did buy some of them back late last year, but I'm now sitting on the sidelines in terms of that leverage position. But I note that the Tokyo Second Section Index, I will post that chart for you. I was about to say you can see it in the chart library, but it's I don't believe it is in that. I'm not sure. Forgive me, a little bit of memory failure there. But I will post it next week. But it's been up 14 days in a row, and that's a good bullish positive lead. And I would expect Japan to run again, given before we get a serious global correction, given the action that we have seen. But it's in a consolidation mode here right now, and it's down a little bit today. Incidentally, among funds that I have had in the past, I don't have this one at present, I have a number of pension fund positions in Japan, but one of the ones that I like the most is the Atlantis Japan Growth Fund. That's a London listed investment trust, dollar denominated. So that's not going to be available to U.S. investors and investors in some other countries. But that's the fund run by Ed Murner. AJG space LN is the code. But I think any other really proven fund in Japan, it's certainly good to have some money in those. And in some of my self-administered pension schemes, I have got a fair amount of my investment capital in Japan and other Asian investments, and that's where most of it's going to stay. Now, today's action, also Europe, I should mention, Europe's been very firm in here overall. That makes me feel that we don't have to be too worried in the very short term about the global stock markets cycle. We had gains pretty well everywhere, but the SMI, which is down just a tiny bit here today, and those gains included another new high by the UK FTSE index, and I imagine some of the others, although I haven't put up all the charts. Okay, moving on to Treasury bonds. I view these as an accident waiting to happen. The inflation figures are way understated. By at least a point and a half, in my view, in terms of CPI data. And, of course, we have an avalanche of bonds in terms of government debt. And we have all the liquidity that has been thrown around. That's, and to one extent, that's helped support the bond market. But it has also sown the seeds for this inflationary cycle that I've been talking about, this long-term inflationary cycle that I'm convinced that the world is now in. Although we won't see the most damaging inflation in terms of overall sentiment and impact that we will get much later in the cycle. It could be years away, it could be up to a decade away. It's impossible to say with any degree of precision at this stage. But what I'm referring to is the stage when inflation is very much part of the public perception, very much in the public perception, and that's not the case here today. But I do feel that these Treasury bonds, most of them around the world, but talk mainly about the U.S. Long-dated Treasury bonds. I've described them repeatedly as an accident waiting to happen, that the overall topping out process continues, and I have said this would probably take time, and that has certainly been the case. We saw the peak in this market back in June of 2003. Now, my hunch, though, is that when that market breaks, it will break hard to the downside in terms of bond prices, upwards in terms of yields. I'm going to take the headset off here for a moment because I've got a cough. Excuse me. Scratchy throat still. Apologies. Now, in terms of currencies, this dollar technical rally persists in here today. The dollar had softened earlier today when the employment figures showed fewer jobs created than had been the case, or than had been actually forecast, but the jobs added from November were increased by 25,000, so it caused us to a small sell-off in the dollar. And then there's a little news announcement, which I think the market has taken out of context, but it does indicate that there's still nervous dollar bears who are getting shaken out of the market. And that news item was that there was a comment I picked up on Bloomberg where reportedly the U.S. Treasury Secretary John Snow said that the U.S. Bush administration, quote, wants to do things to sustain the strength of the dollar, unquote. And the moment that appeared, and we had the dollar rallying again, and it took the euro to down to its current level, which is 130.48, down 125 ticks. Now, my feeling on this is that really what John Snow is saying, and he did qualify this thing, was an extension of his strong dollar policy, much derided, but I feel that it'd be pretty obvious that the underlying message from Snow was that the U.S. would manage the economy, or wish to manage the economy in ways that would ensure that the U.S. dollar remained a viable currency. Well, that's going to happen, albeit it's just at what price. Do we get a further price adjustment in the dollar? I suspect we will before the end, but I've always been of the school that we won't get a collapse of the dollar. Now, in terms of long-term trends, as I've said before, we don't get generational long trends in currencies, but we can get several years of a trend. And my own reading of this, in terms of both a technical and a fundamental basis, is that we have seen most, but probably not all, of the dollar's decline. But at the moment, the dollar is in a rallying phase, and it's correcting, having rallied from that support near the 80 level on the dollar index chart, which I've posted on numerous occasions, including last week, and that that in my view is that this is no more than a technical rebound. It will reduce the number of dollar bear positions that we have, and then I suspect the same factors that worried investors before will sway on the dollar a bit further. Now, one of them that's not weighing on the dollar, and is an important one for currency holders, is interest rate differentials. And there's no doubt that U.S. interest rates will go up again another quarter of a point in February, and that there will almost certainly be additional increases this year. That's a pretty safe bet at this stage. Now, the more those U.S. interest rates go up, the more that will lend support to the U.S. dollar. I don't think it'll be enough to put it into an uptrend, and in terms of any sort of sustainable uptrend, though we're in a short-term uptrend right now, and I wouldn't be at all surprised if we haven't seen the best of this short-term uptrend that has occurred this week. I think we've probably seen the best of what we're going to get by far. In other words, put the other way around, that down around the 130 level for the euro against the dollar, I think anything under 130, it can certainly occur, but it will prove difficult to sustain. Now, that said, let's introduce some technical discipline here. We won't have technical evidence that the dollar's rally has peaked until we see a downward dynamic on all of the dollar charts. That's the key point. Watch for a downward dynamic on the dollar charts. When that does happen, I feel that we will be able to open some short positions in the dollar. But perhaps not yet. Now, that dollar is, of course, having a knock-on influence on other markets, including pushing the gold price down. Gold rallied a little bit when the dollar was softer here today, got up to almost 425, but then got hit on this latest additional dollar rally, and is currently at 417.75. Gold is in a buying range. I bought a little bit more on a baby steps basis yesterday, And my strategy on this is that gold is in a secular bull market. Look at that point and figure chart I posted, yesterday, I believe. Have a look at that chart. Add another knot on the downside if we close under 420, which looks like will be the case today. But gold is coming back into potentially important support. My strategy on this for a long time has been reactions of $30 to $50 are certainly buying opportunity. So this is a buying opportunity on gold, ditto on silver. Now, moving on to, I know there's a palladium, the day's not closed, and I don't want to jinx it, but up a fourth day in a row, all these here very, very modest gains in here. Moving on to the industrial metals. And you know I rolled my tin position forward. It had been declining in very much in free fall, and then had that closing at the high yesterday. That was good technical action. In here today, it opened stronger, fell back a little bit to the 7,500 level, and is currently at 7,745, up 245 right now, and all the other base metals are rallying. Another one that I like a lot, I probably like it more than tin, although I don't have it, is lead, up in here again today. But my feeling is very much that the supply inelasticity bull theme is very much alive. And incidentally, just to chopping and changing here a bit, but to go back to gold for a moment, read Christopher Wood's comments posted on Comment of the Day, and I think it's very easy for gold investors to lose confidence or become confused during these temporary setbacks that are part of every trend move. They are buying opportunities. Ditto. In the industrial metals, sell-offs are buying opportunities. I prefer the metals to the mines. I'll say that again. I prefer the metals to the mines. People say, oh, well, the mines are a leveraged play, and they have a lot of them have yield and so on. I accept all that. They're also wasting assets. And the metals are not. I play the metals through the futures markets. Now, I do feel that the China hard landing story has been exaggerated. It's not impossible, but this would really be very much a blunder. I don't think China has blundered in this. There's no reason why they need or should blunder. And they slowed down the overheating last year, and I think that they're gradually easing again and have a big interest in that continued, sustained, relatively high rate of growth. That will mean a lot of demand coming in for these metals, as will be the case with India, as will be the case with tsunami relief rebuilding, as will be the case with the growth of 3.5 to 4% in the U.S. economy, etc., etc. So I do feel that to say that the supply inelasticity secular bull is very much alive and well. However, it will be volatile, extremely volatile, particularly the London Metal Exchange prices. Also, rising interest rates create a headwind for metals, and that needs to be borne in mind. Turning now to the energy sector, I've kept talking about that chart of oil, which you can see in the subscribers chart library, put up the daily candlestick and weekly candlestick, and ask yourself whether it looks like more of a buy or a sell. To me, it looks like more of a buy, close to the $40 level from which it has continued to bounce, currently unchanged in here today. Natural gas is really overstretched on the downside and starting to steady. That looks like a recovery candidate. I feel that both of these are in secular bull trends, and they have seen big medium-term corrections. These are predictable medium-term corrections and were predicted, as you will recall. But I feel that we've seen most, if not all, of the declines that we are likely to see in these sectors. Lastly, I'll move on to some of the agricultural commodities, and in particular soybeans, the grain complex, and cotton. These are dirt cheap. They are in what look like type 3 base formation patterns, in other words, lots of sideways ranging. That's a baby steps environment where one can buy the dips very lightly, lighten positions on the rallies while the basing takes place, but I wouldn't be at all surprised if we didn't see quite a significant recovery in many of these agricultural commodities in 2005, but the weather will be the dominant influence in whether or not that actually occurs. But needless to say, with prices at very depressed levels currently, the big move is far more likely to be on the upside. That's it, folks. Have an absolutely splendid weekend. I'm off to the first production in Covent Garden's Wagner's Ring Cycle. Good night.